Yo!
What's up?
Here we are, everyone.
We're here.
I feel fine.
Really? Wait a minute. You feel fine? You don't feel tired or bad or sad?
I think I feel fine.
What steps did you take to lead to this?
I don't know.
Everyone get out a notepad.
I used some hand lotion at work today.
What the fuck, dude?
I think it really helped.
You just been walking around with dry hands? That's why you've been so fucked up lately?
It helped.
Helped what? Your mood?
I had dry hands.
Okay, I understand how it helps the hands.
I think that was what was giving me the bad mood. This is Yo, Is This Racist?
Oh, good. We're in soon.
My name is Andrew T.
My name is Tawny Newsom, and we listen to your voicemail questions about racism with the help of a special guest.
That's right.
But first, we talk about some, you know, just some current happenings, like Andrew's newly moisturized hands.
They're not even that moisturized. They're just not like super dry, which I think what it is I finally got a car with air conditioning because the air conditioning in my old car was broken for a long time.
Okay. And this is making more sense.
I think I've had the dry ass AC air blowing on my hands while I drive in the last like 2 months.
Andrew.
And it has straight jacked my hands up.
Andrew, Andrew has a reputation on this show for being sleepy, maybe being grumpy. Mm-hmm. It's all in good fun.
I'm not grumpy.
Well, you say you are sometimes.
I'm grumpy.
Yeah, you say like you're a grumpy granddad sometimes, but it's all tongue in cheek. It's a good time. But if we had to sit down and pick what, if me, Zig, and Jordan, and a handful of listeners had to say what we thought the causes were, not in 10 years would we arrive at dry hands due to faulty air conditioning.
Not faulty, just saying.
So I'm just enlightened. I'm happy you found a solution.
Oh,
it's
going to
be a new show from now on, guys.
I just feel good.
Just old, you know, properly moisturized just Andrew over here.
Barely. And the other reason I feel I was in a good mood, congrats to our friend Bowen Yang
for being
cast as a cast member. That's how that verb and noun work, right? On Saturday Night Live.
Yes, he went from being a writer to, and he did some on-screen appearances, but now he's a featured player. I'm just so happy for him. He's such a funny person. Obviously, friend of the show, so we're biased because we're like, we know you, but...
There's a little bit of bias. Great. There's a little bit of a thing where I was thinking about it, and I think I even said this on his when we were on Los Culturistas, that Bowen is like, makes me angry because he's like, I just wanted to be the funniest Chinese person.
You can't now.
I just wanted to I just thought I had a shot. I didn't think I was going to do it.
Right, right.
But I just.
You wanted to be the funniest Chinese guy. I'm sorry, man. You happy to see it go to someone else?
Oh.
Like someone deserving?
You know what? Actually, I like the pressure.
I do always say this when there's a big black woman role out in Hollywood and we all know each other, especially in comedy. And so when it goes to someone who you're like, man, yeah, she is great. It does feel good. You're like, I really could have used that money, but she's good. And I like this. So I imagine that's what's going on with you and Bowen.
Yeah. No. Right. It's I don't know. Just fucking congratulations to Bowen. It's so, so great.
Yeah. Really go watch all of his lip sync videos. If you're not already familiar, the man is a master. He's a marvel. I don't know how you lip sync to people's like drunk driving audio from them getting pulled over. He's masterful. Congrats. Maybe I'll watch SNL now.
Yeah.
It's on too late.
I can't stay up.
It's on too late.
Okay, we got the best Asian out of the way. Let's get to the other Asian people.
Oh boy.
Fucking Elizabeth Heng. We'll just say a piece of shit Cambodian lady. She produced this video or this ad that like ran that basically has Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Her face superimposed over like flames and skulls, so essentially making the morally and intellectually bankrupt Republican argument that that democratic socialism is dictatorial, like quote socialism, and that one leads to the other. It's just fucking gross and disgusting. I mean, I guess I will say it's not you know, usually there it's more East Asians that run in this kind of buffoonery. Mm. So
is she not? I'm unfamiliar with her.
She's Cambodian. So,
oh, you said that.
So East Asians don't consider her East Asian.
Oh, interesting.
I don't fucking know that much about her other than, list of worst Asians just grows.
Although, could this be used, Andrew, counterpoint? I know you're saying she's bad.
Interesting.
Could this image be used as a really sweet Ed Hardy rebrand?
Mm-hmm.
Just like a pro AOC, just put it on a bunch of t-shirts, wear it in Orange County at a beachside bar, and just show your support for AOC.
Tats and skulls.
Yeah, man, just flames and skulls and words and hats that are just not practical.
I guess the one thing is really like this fucking white supremacist bootlicker, Elizabeth Heng, basically pulled the, like, how could you call me racist? I'm not white. Mm. Thing. I don't, there's not a ton to say about that other than, guess what? You can still be a supporter of white supremacy and not be white.
Yes, you can. It is true that we are less quick to call people of color racist, but that doesn't mean you can't still do it.
Yeah.
I believe in you, America. You're trash.
They're fucking racist.
Yeah. America, the land of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, overcoming your circumstances to be as racist as you want, despite what you look like.
Oh, God. Yeah. This is always, you can always shit on other people of color.
Oh, I wanted to say, this is very quick personal news, but ever since we did that bit about just wanting people to talk to us about snakes they saw, it wasn't bit. It was a dumb comment.
We got
a lot of snake
tweets than we needed.
People do some snake tweets. People like to do an Instagram comment now that's just a snake or snake related, and I'm not mad at it. I'm kind of like, this is way better than people just being like, yo, is that racist? And tagging me in something. I'm like, right, that's the name of the show.
Yeah.
Shut up. Now I'm like, we just doing snake bits all day? Go ahead. You don't like it?
No, I like the snakes. Oh, okay. I prefer the snakes to the racism, if I'm being honest.
I mean, it's a weird preference.
I just don't know
enough
about snakes.
You don't have to know anything. Just be like, thanks for doing this and not the other thing.
That's a snake. That's a snake.
That's a snake. Good job. Thanks for not tagging me into your argument.
Do you think this bit can evolve in any way far enough that we can get some kind of snake merch going that will make any sense?
No, it's going to be confused for like Taylor Swift shit because she embraced the snake now. We're going to think on it, guys, because I know you guys are chomping at the bit to get hot snake merch.
Can we steal something from Taylor Swift? She stole it from black people, I'm just going to guess.
Boo!
you know what? Actually, allegedly.
She stole it from Kim Kardashian, so Kim would love that you... Yeah.
Allegedly.
Now Andrew and I are being careful. Now Andrew and I are getting jobs and we're being careful to not piss off the whites. Are we? Is that what we're worried about?
I don't know anymore.
I don't either. Whatever. I am white. I'm going to talk as much shit as I want about my stupid people.
I mean, yeah. Like, I guess, you know, we wanted to not do this right away, but I guess, you know, too many people, and I'd talk too much shit on Twitter to not talk about how you can get fired for talking shit on a podcast.
Oh, sure. Eventually. That was an unintentional segue, but here we are.
Fucking racist piece of shit, Shane M. Gillis or Shane Gillis? I actually don't know.
Who cares?
McGillis?
Never knew him before. Excited to not know him afterwards.
Can I tell you something?
Huh?
I had him blocked already.
You already had him blocked?
Yeah.
Andrew's block list. Famous for being right 100% of the time, but also it might be wrong, but we'll never know because he has the people blocked.
My block list is better than NBC's corporate vetting.
So this person was announced as a new hire to SNL and then surprised a bunch of very offensive tweets and podcast episodes and posts. I mean, just so many things surfaced year.
Shout out to Twitter follower Ebony Sky God, who coined the phrase referring to my practice of just blocking anyone who's racist in any way or who advertises to me. That's a different story. As the Andrew T. School of Block.
That's pretty good. Oh, yeah. Ebony Sky God. That's our friend up in Canada.
Oh, shit.
In Vancouver. One of the black folk in Vancouver.
Oh.
Yeah, Andrew School of Block is, it's starting to look more and more appealing, I gotta tell you what.
You know what? Obviously, I get it. It's bonkers that I have a, we did the math last time. Do I have more followers or more people blocking? It's real close.
Yeah.
It's like right up there.
It's a pretty I take no shit ratio.
I don't need them.
No, you don't need them.
I don't need them. And like, on one hand, they quote unquote win if you block them. On the other hand,
you don't have to see them anymore.
What do they win?
What do they win? You win your mental health. A tiny corner of your mental health gets to take a rest. Is that how that works?
Who gives a shit? Anyway, I don't know. It was just like the lowest bottom of the barrel, like race shit. Mm-hmm. And the two angles, I mean, I guess the angle I'm most interested in is because he had called Andrew Yang a, quote, Jew chink on a podcast episode. So speaking of world's worst Asians, he's not the worst Asian, Andrew Yang, but he is a fucking bad one and true trash again. He's like making a big show of reaching out and like supporting this fucking racist.
Yeah, like we must educate people instead of just canceling them type of thing. And now I guess they're going to sit down, but it doesn't matter because.
Thank fucking God he's canceling. I have a question. I think can't like saying I'm even just using the phrase cancel culture.
It doesn't exist.
Is the same as saying social justice warrior, which is the same as basically admitting you're racist.
Yeah, I think it's a bizarre term that people have invented to say, I'm uncomfortable with this thing that may come calling for me.
Yeah.
Frankly.
It's just like there is no, like, first of all, there's no reality to it. Literally no one has lost their job who shouldn't have.
No. They take a 10-month vacation and then they come back with all new jokes.
Yeah, so. No one has even gotten a disproportionate punishment, truly, from being canceled. Like, and it's just to me so funny that's like both like these sort of like stand-ups, like defending the idea that you have to be like you have to support everyone who is a quote unquote comic. Which, by the way, like I've done stand-up for decent sized audiences. And I will never consider myself a comic. And you know what? Probably a lot of stand-ups are saying, because you're not, which is fair. I get it. But like...
You like actively don't want to be though. Even though you've been doing it, you're like, that's not me.
I just don't. I'm not a comic. And I think part of the reason I'm not a comic is I don't subscribe to this like fraternity of comedians or like this collegiality that's like it's more important to never criticize the content of a comic. I mean, what I wrote on Twitter was like comedy's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one's just a fan of microphones and it's like you have to defend like Hitler and Barack Obama the same way because they both use microphones. You know what I mean? Like
right.
That's the argument that these people are making, in my opinion. I truly don't get it. And look, maybe that is one of the reasons why I am not a comic.
Yeah, I don't know why you're not a comic, but I think you should be. I think then you would finally be the most famous, funny Chinese person. If you really want to surpass Bowen, you got to get that stand-up circuit just hopping.
I can't do it.
But yeah, so did we say that this dumb person is not going to be on SNL? NBC released
finally,
a statement.
After like taking way, way too long to think about it.
I just don't even care. I'm also like, if they didn't look into it before... Did they really care before people got mad? And then, like, I don't know. Obviously, I'm glad that people are exposed for their grossness, but I also just deeply don't care about this person because I just have seen so many like him. Maybe that's why. Maybe I'm just like, this isn't some, like, anomaly of, like, I bet if you look at all the people over the last year or 2 years who auditioned for SNL and didn't get it, you're going to find a lot more guys like him.
Yeah. I mean, look, like this industry, like to me, this is such a great example of how fucked this industry is. Like every person of color who's ever been on SNL is like top 1% of the funniest of their race. And this guy's like comedy is like some shit you could see any racist drunk uncle do. Mm-hmm. Like it is truly like. Not just racist, but it is as vapid and lazy as humanly possible. You know, it's like to imagine that this like pushes a boundary is
as he said in his apology, his pseudo apology.
Like, you are fucking from like that shit. Like Archie Bunker could have said that. Like,
and just, he probably did.
Yeah.
I want to read a producer Zig's tweet. It was one of my favorites.
Right.
Producer Zig says, haha, I love how every time one of these generic white bro stand-up fucks get caught saying something wildly racist, they're always like, comedy is about taking risks, and the bit they're defending is always like, women aren't funny, or black people steal. It's true, it's like that. That's, there's no risk, there's no boundary. This is well-trod.
It's stupid it is territory. Wild how like it's like these like racists truly have to believe that their racism is innovative. And it's just like,
or that it's all ironic. That seems to be the like
the best they can do.
The best that this person's fans were talking about, I guess, on a subreddit devoted to maybe his podcast or some of his other stand up or his work or whatever, was like, oh, people are mad about this. You should hear how many times he says, you know, the N-word with a hard R or whatever. So it's like, clearly there's a whole body of terrible work, but it's couched in this like, come on, take the joke. This is all ironic, where it's like, we've talked about this ad nauseum, that these quote ironic jokes, you're still saying the joke.
I would also say at best, it's like the joke is, you think I wouldn't say this, but I did.
But I am, and I have been for years, using my real name.
You'd think I was a bad person, but we all know I'm a good person, so.
So I'm going to build a career on just saying terrible things like this.
If I could actually say another thing on this, I've spent too much time thinking about this. I hate that I have. But then Rob Schneider, as of recording today, Monday, but a couple days before this episode comes out, basically was like, as a former SNL cast member, I'm sorry that you had the misfortune of being a cast member during this era of cultural unforgiveness where comedic misfires are subject to the intolerable inquisition of those who never risk bombing on stage themselves. And without like tying that back to too much other stuff, like, people were like, Rob Schneider is one of the only Asian people who's ever been on SNL because he's a quarter Filipino, which is true. However,
they're acting like it gives him more ability to excuse this guy.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing that also happened, though, is Sarah Kuhn on Twitter, who is half Asian. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I don't know. But basically, she just had a tweet about, because sort of in reaction to both Andrew Yang, like racist bootlicker Andrew Yang, and Rob Schneider, you know, people are like, we don't claim them. We don't claim them. You know, Asian people or some Asian people. And she sort of had this thing, a tweet, I'll just read it. As a mixed race Asian, I sure do have some feelings about fellow Asians declaring whether they, quote, claim someone or not. My existence as an Asian person is not up for debate. I'm not here to be cast out if you decide I'm not worth, quote, claiming. And these jokes are fucking hurtful. Which I guess I understand that this is like, it's a very like sensitive thing for, you know, mixed race people to like feel like rejected from their race. And maybe I'm just defending a sentiment that I share that's a privilege, but there's a part of me that is like, well, yes, that is absolutely true. And maybe there's just a better way to do it. But I also like Rob Schneider fully himself does not, you know, is not part of an Asian community, I guess. I don't know his like every detail of his life, of course, but like, you know, he's not like part of this, like he doesn't, you know, his contribution to Asian culture has been a bunch of like racist caricatures that are for white people. So, you know, I guess maybe I obviously, and I'm sure I'm wrong in some way, but maybe there just needs to be a different way to talk about this. Andrew Yang, on the other hand, I'm fully rejecting. Fuck you. You are anti-Asian people. You are anti-black. You have toadied up to Trump supporters. You talk about how, quote, identity politics is bad.
Well, it's sort of,
I fucking hate that guy so much.
I hear you.
I know it's my problem.
I mean, I don't care. Go off.
I don't have anything
go
else.
Off, King. No, what I was going to say about the writer you quoted, It sounds like I understand why she's triggered as a mixed race person myself. I understand why, like, hearing like, ooh, we don't claim them or they're not one of us. That's hurtful language because it was often tied to us not being claimed because of our not fullness. However, it seems like in this situation, and I'm sure people are doing both things, not claiming Rob Schneider because he's not, quote, Asian enough. But it also seems like people are tying it to their actions as opposed to their racial makeup.
Yeah.
So it sounds like people are saying we don't claim them. You know, it's like when Black people talk about Candace Owens's or Stacey Dash's.
Yeah.
We're saying like, ooh, they're not us. They're not us. I don't feel that that is because they are. We're calling them, quote, Oreos or they're acting white. I think it's. I hope that the best ones of us are saying it's because of their actions.
Yeah. I mean,
we don't
want
them
on our team. Both.
I'm sure it's both.
It's both. Like, there is like an element of like, you're not real Black.
Sure.
If you're not a certain type of Black, or you're not real Asian if you're not a certain type of Asian.
But I would hope that, and you know, we didn't plan to talk about this, so I'm kind of springing this on you. That's what you do to me. You spring things on me because you pay more attention to shit.
I don't know what's happening.
Well, so there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't need to fully get into because there are smarter people on the internet you can follow surrounding, you know, activists and I don't know what you call them, social media person, Sean King.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of scrutiny and question about his fundraising tactics and his methods. And friend of the show and former guest, DeRay, has recently called him out. So there's a lot of scuttlebutt that you can read. I recommend reading. Also former friend of the show, Imani Gandhi, at Angry Black Lady on Twitter. She has threads ad nauseum about the Sean King of it all. So you can go there if you want details on what's going on. But what I will say is that a lot of people do so-called like black checking him for either not, you know, there's a rumor going around that he wasn't actually Black. There's a rumor
that rumor, by the way, was started by white supremacists, like the racists started that.
Truly. And then we're just
other Black people picked it up,
biting into it. And I think, you know, you can, if you care about this, you can look into his answer for it. But I commend someone like Imani Gandhi, who is very, very vocal about his practices needing to be more transparent and not appearing to profit off of Black lives being lost, but yet never engages in this Black checking.
Yeah.
Like, she is able to keep those things separate because she's a professional who knows what the fuck to care about. Yeah. And I think that those conversations, this is how you have these kinds of nuanced conversations that aren't always easy to have on Twitter.
Yeah. I think it's probably worth like just losing the phrase, we don't claim someone.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, Andrew, you seem to just prefer like that guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, as a white supremacist bootlicker, both of them are. Both of them.
So Andrew Singh just called names.
Profited from anti-Asianness. But specifically, I'm just going to, my last Andrew Yang thing, which is like how, like now there's like claims that he's being discriminated against. And that's why he's not getting traction. And it's like, motherfucker, you're straight up like, you're a Republican. He went on goddamn like also white supremacist bootlicker Ben Shapiro's podcast. He went on fucking like Joe Rogan's podcast. Like he depends on Trump voters for his existence as a candidate, and he's fucking scum. And it really bums me out that like the most prominent like Asian American to get any real traction in a presidential, you know, even what he has, right, is like pretty good. It's not, he's not a pioneer, but he's, you know, gotten a lot of attention. Pains me that he is named Andrew. He pains me that he is so fucking stupid. It pains me that he's like a tech idiot who thinks he's smart. It pains me that he trots out all this bullshit like, as an Asian, I should know doctors or math or whatever. Like,
oh, does he do that shit?
Yeah, he did that. He's like, he is. I'm being hyperbolic when I say the absolute worst of us, because there are worse. They're worse named Andy.
But I like that you're giving up. You're like, let's get rid of the phrase, we don't claim him. And you're just like everything else, though.
He's truly fucking scum. And it just really, really bums me out. That's
sure.
All. Sorry.
No, I get it. I don't know what that's like. We haven't seen enough people of color this far in politics to see the best and the worst of us, really.
We just
haven't seen enough. We don't have enough of a rubric.
I just can't wait for that whack ass Tawny to get out there.
Oh man, Tawny Dowd.
Is that a person?
I don't know. I just tried to give her a one-syllable last name.
I'm not going
to
Google anything.
Tawny Dowd, she a mess.
Anyway,
she believes slavery didn't happen because where would they put all the water? Anyway.
So
the boats can only hold so many barrels.
I missed this. I wasn't able to make it to this interview, but you and Danny Fernandez sat down with Lauren Lapkus.
This was so much fun. Yeah, it was all women, which I didn't think about it when we sat down, but then immediately we started talking and I was like, oh, this energy is just like different. It was cool. Lauren is so funny. I mean, if you listen to anything on this network, you guys have heard her just be some of the funniest parts of it anywhere ever. But yeah, we just sat down and had a chill old time. Danny's a great co-host. So Andrew, what I'm saying is, if you want to get rid of me.
Oh, I thought you were saying I was fired.
Nope. I'm saying that I will understand.
Did we both just fire ourselves?
I guess Danny has two jobs.
Maybe I am tired. Shit. All right, let's get listen some to this lotion. Fucking interview.
Yeah, real you, Dumbo. By the way, need in a way bag. You are should you have whoever does that here, like, reach out to them. Because Gabrus and I have them, and we were talking about how much we like them. So I posted a story tagging them to, like, try to get more.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. They were like, thanks for your, like, so glad you like them. And I was like, we love them. We were just talking about how good they are. They're like, that's awesome.
They're
and
like
cool. Do you emails. Understand why I'm talking to you, fake person?
Fake person. I don't know you.
I know. What does it take, people?
Well, Lauren, I have to say, I mean, just to start this ladies podcast off real ladylike. Because you posted something wearing those shoes and somebody asked you where they were.
Yes.
I fucking went to that boutique. I ordered a pair of shoes.
Thank you.
You weren't even trying to advertise those shoes.
You know what? I need to like know that because I feel like we don't know our power in terms of getting free shit.
You are a queen.
It's like people listen to you and they go, really, oh, that's cute. Oh, I'll go get that.
Yeah, and it literally was like the weirdest because you didn't post it.
Initially,
I should say
I didn't tag
that we're here with Lauren Lapkus. My guest co-host is Danny Fernandez.
Yes.
We just rolled right in because why not? But you didn't even post like in the caption, like these shoes are by da da da, which is fine to do.
Yeah.
You didn't even say that. Somebody asked you, and for whatever reason, my algorithm was like, you need to see what this stranger said to Lauren. And I got the shoes.
Worked. Yeah, actually, I was following that company on, I'm not going to say their name here.
I know,
because they haven't given me free shit yet.
Yeah.
But I was following them for like a long time and finally was like, okay, I've thought things are cute for long enough. I'm going to go in and buy things. And I did.
Absolutely.
And I was very excited about it.
Good.
And they're really comfortable.
And
both pairs I have. And I'm not telling you who it is, people.
No, you guys are going
to
have to
go
scroll through all the comments on Lauren's
on
posts.
Every post ever.
Danny, what other free shit do you get? You don't have to name them by name, but you can talk about the type of product.
I am going to name one person by name.
Go
I'm
nuts.
Actually wearing their shirt. It's Funimation.
Oh, yeah.
Funimation, they own like 500 different anime titles. This is not an ad. I want to say they gave me my first.
No, I pimped her into this.
They gave me my first ever hosting gig at San Diego Comic Con years ago. And I actually, this is super nerdy, but I got a Twitter just to follow them.
Wow.
Because I was super into anime and like grew up listening to the voice actors and like being obsessed with DBZ. And so then I became a part of the family. So they send me free shit. Like they send me all this My Hero Academia stuff, like back to school, like backpacks and socks. And then somebody replied like, oh, they never send me anything. And I was like, I've done my time. I hosted with them for years. I was sweaty and hot and handing out t-shirts. So...
Yeah. You have done your time.
Yeah.
That is very cool. I want more things.
Yeah. It's weird though. Once you get one free thing, you're like, can everything be free now? Like it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, because then you're like, money's a construct. I like how somebody once told me that like rich famous people are the most aghast at having to pay for anything.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Like, sure, because their whole like I've gotten the tiniest taste of this.
Oh yeah.
I got a discounted conditioner sent to me.
Right. And it just feels so good.
Oh,
or
like
anytime you've gotten to skip a line, it's like, well, no, I never want to wait in a line.
Oh, truly.
True.
Oh, it's bad.
Have you ever had someone, though, offer you something free and you're like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
they want
you to post it. And it was this guy that kept like, I would love to see you in my shirts. And they were literally just like clip art looking. Like, you know, those websites where you can make your own shirt.
Yeah.
And it just was like the graphics were horrible. And I was like, no, I'm good. And he like just kept sending, like, you can have your pick of any of them. I just.
You have to have a standard.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Yeah. So if you're going to send us free stuff, make sure it's great. Make sure it's so good. No, somebody did. The only time I turned something down, because I've maybe only been offered four free things, but the one time I turned it down is because it was too complicated to like, they were like, hey girl, we should collab. We've got stuff to send you. And I was like, cool, I like things, just like responding so stupidly. And they were like, cool, well, take this promo code and go to our website and pick through what you want, but then email this person. And it was like a promo code that I couldn't tell if it was actually going to be like free, if I was still paying for things. And I was just like, I actually don't need a humidor anyway. Like, I don't have cigars. I just wanted a free thing. So I gave up.
Yeah. Too many steps.
Yeah. So make it easy when you give us free things.
Just give it.
Just send it and don't ask for anything in return. Thank you.
Please, thank you. It ceased to exist, so I don't have to think about you. We're, of course, kidding. Lauren, Lauren, you were just on a tour. I was following that. Yes. Just my mouth just dripping with I was
gooey,
jealous.
Gooey saliva. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We were doing the Comedy Bang Bang tour. We're kind of breaking it up into chunks and going out every month for like a few shows, which is really fun. Because last time we did it in 2016, we went for like 21 straight days to like 19 cities or something. And it was like really exhausting.
Yeah,
so this is kind of great. And yeah, we went to New Haven was one of our stops, and we ate at a place that everyone told us to eat to, which was at Pepe's Pizza, this pizzeria, and it was very good. And then the second we posted, people are tagging us in some fucking article about how the guy who runs it is a Trump person. I was like, oh, no. You know what? You all told me to go there.
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you can't act like y'all already knew this when the whole consensus was gotta go to racistbigotpies.net.
I was so mad. I'm like, first of all, I'm never going to return. So fuck off with this story.
Truly.
Also, everyone in charge of every corporation is probably
true.
That. Like, if you all have a ton of money and you're running a corporation, I'm not probably in line with your politics.
There's
like,
no good billionaires.
Truly. Yeah.
They're like, oh, Lauren saw you at a Chase Bank ATM.
Like, I'll have you know.
I'll have you know. You know what good old JP did to the country of Panama? Anyway.
I was going to say, speaking of free things, have fans ever given you like after shows, like interesting gifts?
Mm. Yes. And we did meet and greets during the first tour and met lots of interesting people and lots of really great people. And
I love that you separated. Well,
there is a separation. Usually if you're really great, it's not that interesting. It's like, hi, so nice to meet you. Oh, that was so nice. And then you leave. And if you're really interesting, then something happens. But I've been given some really great art by just people who are very talented at drawing. And it makes you realize, like, doing these improv podcasts, all the depraved shit that you end up saying, because when people draw the thing that you said, like, there was, like, a picture somebody drew of me and Thomas Middleditch as our kid detective's characters, like, riding our dead, like, skinned mother. Like, it was, like, fully, like,
yep.
A horrible image that was drawn and brought to life, which I thought was great.
And so, now framed in your bedroom.
Yeah, it is framed on my wall. Yeah.
You love it. I know, it's like, when you think of a thing and say it on something kind of ephemeral, like a podcast, it doesn't seem as grotesque and horrifying as when you see it then illustrated. You're like, oh, this shouldn't exist.
Like, oh no, someone spent time thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you guys? Have you been given anything weird?
I'm trying to think of what to.
I don't like getting food.
Yeah, I don't trust food. Even if you think this person's so nice, it's scary to think that maybe something's in it.
I'm so sorry. People have given me different, like, I think Iffy will eat it. Yeah. He just doesn't care. He just takes all the risks.
Well, because it's usually fine. Like, the idea of, like, poisoning someone in, like, a cookie is insane. But but you never know. Like,
no, my mom was always made us throw out the Tootsie Rolls and things.
Because they can be unwrapped.
Yes.
Oh, I never heard that about Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah,
oh
my anything God. That could be unwrapped, my mom made us throw out of our Halloween candy.
Wow. Same. I feel like anything that wasn't, like, sealed from a factory, like, had to go. And we had, like, which is crazy because, like, we had nice neighbors who would, like, bake things or make homemade, which were probably way healthier than me just sitting there eating Starburst like a fucking machine.
Yeah.
But that's what I could actually, no Starburst because you can unwrap it. So I probably couldn't eat that.
No, but it would come in like those little three packs.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the little sleeve.
Yeah, you're right. So that was probably safe.
Do you remember that? But people would put like Oreos in Ziploc bags on my block and just give us those.
Yeah. Just groceries.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
People just handed out their snack cupboard. God, can you imagine trick-or-treating now? I mean, can you imagine like the amount of bullshit
they get,
fake
like,
healthy snacks you're going to get?
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, this is going to upset someone, but they get like pretzels and I'm like, that's why? Bullshit.
And I've seen those in like the Halloween bag. You're like, this is not a fucking treat.
No.
No.
That is a lunch for an office worker.
What I was going to say, unless you're a really sad kid, can you imagine getting excited about pretzels?
Come on.
One thing I've seen that like my aunt was doing was like, if there are kids with allergies in your, like, so they, she had like a bowl with like candy and then a bowl with toys. And so if you have an allergy, you get a toy, which I feel like is a very aware thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Also, like, that's like a privilege. I feel like getting a toy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this is in a rich community. It's like, yeah, it's going well.
They're like, here's a one of those. Oh, I had a joke, but I forgot.
Your childhood has been rough. So you get something extra for having food allergies.
Yeah, because you can't have this one candy right
now. The rest of you get the shit.
Yeah. The rest of you get just a spike in your sugars. Okay, so Lauren, then you also did a couple Raised by TV shows, right?
Yeah, we did. We did. We went to Philadelphia and we had Paul F. Tompkins as our guest, and it was so fun.
The best.
He came out singing a song from a local Philadelphia commercial from when he was growing up there, and the audience went insane.
They lost their minds, right?
Yes. And he showed all these clips. This was so crazy. He showed these clips of the Crass Brothers, K-R-A-S-S, and they're like these weird local commercials from this suit store or something. And it's like this old man, and the commercials are like 7 seconds at best. They're so fast and they're so weird. And it's like a bunch of female wrestlers like come in and choke the guy while he's saying like, come to our place. It's like, it's so psychotic. And we showed all of those, and then I got a tweet following up.
Of course.
No, and it's crazier than you think. What are you going to guess?
That they're Trump supporters
No. They're long dead because this guy was like super old. But they're dead from the war. They got murdered in their store.
No! We don't want that.
Oh, no.
May they rest.
Isn't that insane?
Oh, my God.
We didn't know when we were doing the show. And then later we were like, oh, fuck.
Did you guys make a bunch of jokes about how they're ghosts?
We made a bunch of jokes about them just making fun of them. And then it was like, oh no, this tragic end.
They've been killed. God, yeah, I guess like it's a safe bet that anyone who was on like your local TV ads in the 90s has probably been murdered. So check before you do a live podcast and make jokes about them. I mean, I'm thinking, is the Empire Carpet guy all right?
Oh, I know. He passed and now he's a cartoon. They made him into a cartoon.
And his voice was fake.
Yeah.
But his voice was fake for a while when he was still alive.
Wait, where are you from?
Well, no, but I was in Chicago when this happened.
Okay.
I'm from Northern California, but I was in Chicago when, and I used to know someone who did sound for those commercials.
Wow.
And he said that they switched over even when the guy was still alive, and they switched and had a voice actor do it.
What?
This was in like 2008, probably.
That might actually be really smart, because so often when like a local person is just doing it, it sounds horrible because they can't act.
They just sound like they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Like, come over, get your carpets. Like, they have no acting ability.
Right? Yeah.
The guy that has way too much energy is that My Pillow guy.
Oh my God.
What's My Pillow?
Oh my God.
He does ads for like 30 minutes on TV that are like crazy. My Pillow is like
pillow you play with?
Yeah, I don't even know what.
For kids.
Is it that or is it a pillow?
It's a pillow, but like all of his commercials are kids playing with pillows.
Jordan's pulling it up.
Oh my God.
Sorry guys, this is a new podcast now. We just watched this.
No, wait.
Also in his bio, I think it says that he's like a former crack addict.
Jesus.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Bio? Don't put it in your bio.
But that's inspirational.
Yeah, you're right, actually. He's like, if I can do it.
Oh my God, My Pillow. He's probably a billionaire.
I love that the first question people ask on Google is, what is the lawsuit against My Pillow?
Oh my God, click that.
You can't have anything without someone being like, actually.
A $50 chunk foam filled pop? What?
What?
What? Oh, I read that wrong.
Oh my gosh. They earned $100 million annually the past several years. Yeah, he's banking.
Wow.
Well,
My Pillow.
I hope he doesn't kill an elephant soon.
He has totally used one of those to smother somebody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My Pillow.
Maybe the Crass Brothers. Should we talk about racism?
Yeah.
Wait. So
let's tackle it.
Lauren, you have been just aggressive about.
Let's talk about it.
You've been emailing and texting us constantly saying, like, guys, can I talk about that thing today? This is a softball one.
Hi, friends. Really love the show. My question is about people using the word, white people specifically using the word ghetto. My boyfriend will use it just like, you know, if we drive by a house that's abandoned or looks abandoned, but there's someone living in there, like, oh, that's so ghetto. And I correct him every time and it makes me uncomfortable. And I say, like, I don't think you should say that. Like, you shouldn't say that. But I don't have like a sentence that's like why he shouldn't say that. And I was just wondering if you could give me some context or, you know, some way to correct when people say that. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Can we give this woman a sentence? to say to the man she loves?
It sounds racist.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good sentence. Perfect. Is racist. Okay, we'll move on. Yeah, it's really that simple, right?
Yeah, that feels like a term that I definitely used in high school. And
all of us.
Then
I shouldn't say all of us. I did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now sounds so horrible when you say it that, like, it just is immediately wrong. I don't even know, like, how else to really get into it. But it feels bad. It feels, like, classist and rude and, like, and just, like, pointless to say.
Yeah. Right. I also, like, her description was, like, when we drive by an old house. I was like, ma'am, where do you live that just an old house is like, ooh.
Ooh, that's ghetto. Keep moving.
I thought white people called that vintage. I think it's a term that's been used historically against people of color, especially against black folks, about that kept them out of jobs, that kept them out of, you know, like, their hair is ghetto or their look is ghetto or whatever. And so I think that that's enough of a point that it's typically used to harm them also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, it's been weaponized. So, like, why would you, my nice, sweet boyfriend, want to participate in that? Assuming he's a nice, sweet boy.
Yeah.
He might be terrible. Often our advice on the show is just, like, you got to dump that guy. Yeah. We do a lot of that. We're just like, get out of that.
That one feels like it depends on what else, like, what other types of things he says. But, like, that one feels you can learn to not say that or see things in that way. Like, I feel like that one could be changed in a person if you're...
That bugs me because I'm like, then how many times has she... Because she's like, every time he says it, I tell him not to. I'm like, how long has this been going on?
Yeah.
But it wasn't I taught an ex-boyfriend how to say gone versus went over the period.
whoa.
So I think it can be taught. Okay. So he shouldn't still be saying it after you've said it one time with something like that, where it's like, that word is not a good word to say.
Well, I mean, just like that guy in your life, Lauren, he came and gone.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that's a wild thing to teach.
And so every
someone.
Time I'd go, nope.
I get docked sometimes for saying crazy. I change crazy. Iffy and I stop saying crazy. We now say wild. Like, that's wild.
I've tried to say bananas more than crazy.
Sounds like a very Lauren thing to say.
I love that.
That could not be more on brand for you. But also, it kind of does frustrate me just as, like, I've identified as crazy for so long that I'm like, you're taking away, like, I'm a very vocal member of the mental health community, so I understand that. But also, as a member of that community, I'm like, I can't even say this own word that is mine that's been used against me and something that I, like, co-opted for myself. And it just is a weird balance.
That kind of word is hard because it feels like that enters in that territory of, like, when can you have fun with language at all? Like, I don't mean it in that way. And I don't know. I mean, but again, that's where it gets dicey because that can be used in so many other scenarios and you go, but you're wrong. And so I don't know. It's like, I guess I have to just listen to people who say that I shouldn't say that.
And I think that's all you can do is listen and then decide when you're going to heed their advice and recommendations. And maybe it's not every single time, like, especially for you, Danny, if that's a word you use and have, like, used for yourself. I mean, you know, there is no allowed and not allowed because, like, you're allowed to do whatever you want and people are allowed to say whatever they want to. Unfortunately, the internet was invented.
I think I was just listening this weekend to You Drive Me Crazy, as you do, because it was the anniversary of it. And I'm like, oh, this song would be canceled if it came out today. There'd be, like, think pieces on it. But Britney is someone who has been called crazy.
Yeah, right.
Like, if anyone should get to use that word. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it.
I do feel like I've somehow added insane and psycho to my, like, everyday language all the time, where I call anything insane or psycho or call people psychopaths so much, which is probably annoying to people.
I'm sure it is too. I also do similar things that I'm like, I haven't had anyone yell at me yet. This is not an invitation to.
Yeah, please
we're
don't.
Having discourse
please don't
about
yell
it.
At us.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of that stuff that, like, in, you know, times change. People let you know what shit's not acceptable and you just roll with it.
I feel that way about girls. Like, I use it with my girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind that word.
Yeah.
And I think of myself as a girl. Like, I don't feel like woman or girl is more appropriate for me. Like, sometimes when I hear woman, I feel like I'm like, okay, whoa. Like,
yeah. I'm not like, that old. Calm down, man.
Okay.
Yeah. The rule I tend to use is, like, if I don't know the person, I err on woman. Or if I'm speaking about someone not there, I say woman. But, like, if they're my girl, If I'm here. The only time I corrected someone was because I was like working with a producer and we kept going into rooms with executives and he was referring to me and the other woman I was working with. He'd be like, so the girls think blah, blah, blah. And finally we were just like, we like had a little powwow about it on the side. And then we like confronted him on a call one day and we were like, can you not refer to us as the girls? And
yeah, because like, in that context, it makes you feel like less than or something or like you might be taken less seriously.
You feel like just weird Andrew's sisters bobbing in. Okay, we solved this problem. Dump your boyfriend. Is that what we said? No, just keep telling him. But also, like, you shouldn't have to keep telling him.
You should. I think once should have been good. I feel this also comes into the territory with, like, older generations where I find myself, like, stopping older comedians that, I mean, I'm not working with often, but just people that I've encountered where they might use outdated language to talk about things and issues. And it's like, hey, people don't want to hear that word anymore. You should not do that. And it can feel like you're policing somebody, but it's also like, I'm helping you. Like, you're going to end up saying that in the wrong situation and you're going to look like an asshole. And like, even if she's understanding that, like, he might not mean it in a certain way or whatever, she can just say that that could end up getting you into a bad situation if you say that to somebody who was extremely offended by that. So I don't know.
I think you do know.
Yeah,
that
you
sounds
know.
Good to
yeah,
me.
We all know.
We know. That's why we're here. The all
we
women.
We solved racism.
Racism solving squadron? Team?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Girls.
We're the all women racism solving girls.
The crazy girls.
Just call us crazy girls. Here we are. Here's another question.
With the U.
More the crazy girls.
Girls with
Hello,
a U and Z.
Andrew and, of course, guests. I am a white dude, a cishet, you know, just taking the privilege, dude running the, like, a small theater company in Arizona. We do a lot of, like, new work with local writers. We just really like showcasing local talent. But we're a tiny, tiny little company, so we don't have much reach. We put on this kind of short play thing that we're doing. We've done similar things before where we kind of just picked a few writers that, you know, around town and we're going to do their plays. And when we're doing that, we read the submissions blind so that we can narrow it down to the ones we actually want to do without being biased about, you know, if we happen to know somebody or anything like that. It happens by coincidence this time that the plays that we picked were all written by other straight white dudes. And I mean, even though we are such a tiny company and we don't really have much of a following, we do pride ourselves on trying to cultivate diverse choices in our artists. So we're kind of running up against this thing now that the plays that we found objectively better are all the least diverse voices that we have. And
objectively.
So now we're debating, since we haven't actually reached out to those writers yet to confirm anything, you know, do we go with the plays that we thought were quote-unquote the best in this situation, or do we go back to the pool again and try to tackle it a little bit more subjectively?
Minute 30,
sure
we're at.
There are some diverse voices in there.
It's a new day.
The subject matter of the event is nothing to do with race or anything like that. It's just kind of a fun, silly event. But we just don't want to miss an opportunity, I guess, to, you know, put on the best show that we can, but also to make sure that we're giving the best opportunities that we can. You probably get a lot of variations of this question, so...
No, really.
You can answer it. If not, I love you all. You're my best friend.
Aww. And did it nicely, but I kept thinking he was going to take the other stance, and then he kept going, but we want to put on the best show.
Yeah.
It was like, wait, so you do think it has to be these specific plays that were written for it to be the best.
Yeah.
But you could go the other way and have it not be the best.
And have it not be as good, but at least we're patting ourselves on the back for diversity.
When I was on here last talking with Andrew, I brought up the fact that, like, okay, so when we're looking at the Academy Awards and the best picture is supposed to go to the best, but what does the Academy look like?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do they resonate with stories that feel more familiar to them? Even if you think that you're picking them objectively, mm-hmm. you are going to pick something from your own bias of your own background and your own experience.
Yeah.
You know? People's favorite movies are often their favorite for some reason. Like if you're on a thing like that, I mean, that's a perfect analogy. I feel like he knows what he's supposed to do. And he did not want to admit it, or like he feels like he's not being true to what he likes by doing it or something.
He told on himself, like you said, when he kept calling the ones that they've selected, this all-white group selected this all-white male group of writers, these are the ones that he kept calling the best. Yeah. So he's hung up on the fact that those are the only ones that can be considered the best. The other ones don't have as much merit as these do. So that's why he can't see past it. So he's not like... doesn't want to do the right thing. He just thinks of it as like, well, one way will be great and the other way will be diverse.
And like, we did it blind. So this is just how it shook out. Right. And like, I don't know. I think it doesn't look good to put on, to be a straight white man and then to put on a show with a bunch of plays that are all by straight white men. Just kind of like, why?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't even see the point of it. I don't know. Not even like, not that they're not good, like save them for the next round and mix it up a little more. Get other people on your committee that are diverse so that your choices are more inclined to be diverse.
Truly, like, ask anyone else to read them and maybe you'll get different results in this, like, what's empirically the best. Also, I'm like, any kind of blind, we did it blind, and these are just the ones that rose to the top for exactly the reason Danny's saying, like, you're going to pick the things that resonate most with you. But also just, like, the amount of injustice of the fact that mostly white people have always controlled things and then they're going to also pick things made by white people means that you can't do shit blind if you want to even attempt to balance the scales. Like, that's why, like, colorblind casting doesn't work. That's why, like, you can't be blind. You have to have your eyes open to see that things have been imbalanced and unfair in order to write them.
Yeah. I see that. We saw that forever and still going on with late night is that, like, when you send in a late night packet, it's like, oh, but this doesn't sound like a white guy's voice. And that's who's hosting most of late night. And so, like, the jokes might be extremely funny, but they're just not, they don't resonate with them the same way that they do someone that sounds, you know, like Kimmel or Colbert or whatever. So you have to, and they read those blind. So you really do have to go out of your way, or like you were saying, get other readers, you know?
Yeah. So when you submit packets, I don't submit late night packets, not since I left Second City, where they seem to like make us do that for some reason. They were like, you all want this job, right?
This is the only path for you.
I was like, cool. It's either that or die on more ambulance shows, I guess. This is what I'll do. But do you find yourself, because I did this once, maybe twice, writing so that if they read them blind, they would know that you're a person of color, Danny? Like, do you try and insert Easter eggs to be like, somebody will see?
Here's the thing. Somebody's going to write me and be like, but you're supposed to write in their voice. Yeah, but you're also supposed to have like your own unique. Why do they need five of the same person?
Yeah, they're hiring different people to have different jokes.
Yeah, to have different takes on something is what I mean. Have different takes. And so... wait, what was your question? Do I write it like?
Do you try and signal to someone in case there's like a Latinx person in the room,
Selena like or something in there, just randomly have like Doritos or something?
Yeah.
If there's another Latinx person in the room, never. I was reading.
That's my thought, that I'm like, oh, maybe there's someone, there's a secret friend there who will see this and be like, oh, she wrote about dark and lovely hair straightener.
No, but I do know that, like, you can't put in jokes that they can't say, you know, like, that is a thing that, like, I can't, something that I could say, you know, Conan can't say. And so you do have to be aware of that. But, yeah, there is so much bias with like the best. And because, like you said, a lot of times, especially in our industry, that top position is a reader that is white. That's normally the stories that they're picking.
Yeah. And honestly, like, you have a small theater company. So not to diminish the work that you're doing, the art that you're trying to create, but like the risk is fairly low, right?
Yeah.
You're not sponsored by American Airlines where like you have to get butts in seats and you need subscribers like some of these bigger theaters do. Not that that's an excuse, but I'm just saying, like, you have all the freedom to make any choice
you want. You're in power to give people an opportunity. So it makes sense that you would use it positively and not just help someone who already is fine. I don't know.
I feel like the three of us with both of these questions feel like these are crazy questions.
The answer in them. Like, it's like he knows what he's saying, but he knows what is, but then I thought, no, actually that might not even be true because I thought that, and then he still said the thing that I was like, wait, that wasn't where that sentence was supposed to go.
Right. He's still so, like, well, the objectively better ones.
I want to read all of them. Can you send them all to
us? Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's an idea. Like, what if you just put on, because how many submissions could you have gotten? Can you do a reading of every single one?
Yeah.
Like, why are you dividing them anyway? Because it doesn't sound like you really have people of color at your disposal to be reading them, which was our other suggestion.
Yeah.
So just do it. Just put them all up, dude. Have it be a marathon.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Racism
to me.
Solved.
We
another one fixed.
Did it. Also, we love you too. You're not our best friends, but that's just because I've never seen your face and I don't have your phone number. That's a basic
rule. It's good to have boundaries.
Yeah. All right, last question.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, and guest.
Sort of.
I am a first generation Haitian American, and I take a lot of pride in that. I'm in law school. I had a classmate ask me what that was. She was under the impression that all the black people in the world existed here in the U.S. and in Africa.
Danny's covering her face.
With that being said, is it racist that when I am called African American, sometimes I want to shout from the rooftops, no, I'm actually Haitian American. I feel like myself, as well as other black people from Central America and South America, are just totally invisible in the U.S. And that kind of pisses me off. But that may be racist. Let me know you guys' thoughts. Thanks. Love the show.
Okay.
Did the person say they didn't know what that was? I missed that one sentence.
Yeah, she was like, I'm Haitian. And the coworker said, what is that?
Okay. That's crazy.
Very,
oh, no, it's not crazy. It's bananas.
It's wild. Bananas. Look, it's That's Looney wild. Tunes. It's Looney Tunes Magoo. Yeah, it's that's a wild thing to say, that you think all black people are either here or in Africa. How does one arrive at that thought? Maybe you just never been to anywhere or seen a show.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Just never seen a show from anywhere. But what's interesting is this caller seems worried about her behavior right. in this. Like, she's worried that by delineating between the fact that she does not identify as African American, by saying, like, that doesn't count for me, she's worried that that sounds
That term gets bad. Used so much, though, because they use it with John Boyega, they use it with Lupita, and it's like, they're not African-American.
Oh, right, that's the other side of it. They're not American.
Yeah, they're not American, but that is what that is, like, the term that gets used for all black people.
Do you feel like that's just, like, overcorrect, like, trying to be, like, perfectly, like, to say it the perfect way or something, and be really polite or something? I don't know, like, what I'm trying to say with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, where it's like, they're African American. And it's like, that's actually, you're not even looking into that, who that person is or where they're from, but you're trying to say the right term.
I think you're right. I've always seen it as like a correctness, especially in the 90s. It got pushed really hard as being the correct way. And in the black community, I feel like a lot of people were saying that they prefer that. I know some older black people that still prefer it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me right now, and I know this is fucked up sometimes because some of you are going to be like, I use this. When I hear someone say African American, I'm like, you don't have enough black people around you at all.
It feels overly articulate about the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, that's how I feel saying it. Like, it feels like I'm going like, I don't know. Like, my nerd glasses come on. But I also don't want to, like, take away from what anyone likes to be, like, referred to as.
Sure.
But I think this person, if they're saying they feel that they're being, like, erased by not acknowledging where they are from, that's not race. I mean, I think that's totally, everyone should be called what they prefer to be called.
I think so.
I don't know.
I wonder if she is.
I say I don't know after everything. I just noticed I say I don't know after every statement I make.
I feel like this podcast forces you to.
It's a good like, clause
to
have.
I don't want to act like I know more than anyone.
Here are my thoughts, but also, I don't know.
Truly, that's the whole thing. I'm like, here are my thoughts, but also here's a joke. And what I want to leave you with is the joke. Because we are not scientists. What I was going to say is, and this is me putting words in the caller's mouth. I don't know that this is what she's thinking, but for the sake of discussion, maybe this could help. It sounds to me like what often happens when people start saying things like, oh, actually, like, I'm Afro-Cuban, or actually, like, I'm not African-American. There can be a denial of, like, I'm just going to say the messy thing that hopefully black people will get and everyone will understand my meaning. But the messy way to say it is there's a wanting to not be descendants of slaves. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of black people that will say things like, no, I'm actually French Haitian. I'm not saying that that's what she's doing. You guys get me.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a wanting to separate yourself from like, no, my people were never slaves. Like, we're either straight from there or we're from someplace else.
I think for her, it's just a taking away of her identity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what she's saying, that I'm Haitian, I'm not. And everyone's just calling me the wrong thing. I think she's so smart to be trying to nip it in the bud now, as opposed to just being silent and letting them and letting everyone treat her like she's not, doesn't have her history and identity.
Yeah.
I think that's such an important thing for to tell the person who's referring to you that way, that like, oh no, I don't use that to describe myself because that's not where my ancestors are from. That's not where I'm from. I think that's just important. Like it's just a correction that anyone should be glad to learn from.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to, I don't know. You don't want, I mean, that's like anything that you would like say someone is straight who doesn't identify as straight or like any other place that they're from and like kind of lumping them to one thing as you assume that about them. It's just kind of makes you feel like you're not really being honest about yourself or something or like true to yourself. Like this is my identity.
I also feel like it's never awkward when, and this is for a variety of reasons, but for like, let's say a white person has like a last name that sounds pretty typically German. If you go like, oh, German name, and they go, oh, my family's actually Swiss. Like, there's not even a blip when that happens. Yeah. You're just like, oh, fact. Cool.
Right.
Accept the identity I've put on you. You're German now.
Yeah, I feel like there's just, like, such an ease about an ability to talk about those types of nationalities. I don't know.
That's how I feel when people call people from Spain Latina.
Uh-huh. Like, that's a fun one. Oh, let's talk about that.
No, it makes me...
how do you feel
know
about
it,
the Moors?
Makes me very angry. That's not how... You have to be from Latin America is actually what that word means.
Mm. But these people speak Spanish and have dark hair and I'm confused.
You know, it was... gosh, there was somebody on my Facebook that was like, I just did a 23andMe and found out that I'm... part like from Spain or whatever, and all the comments like you're Latina now, and it was like all of the like the salsa dance emoji, and I just unfriended them because that was not mental space that I needed to take up that day.
You don't need to take it up, and I'm sorry you had to take up any of it. Yeah, that's a weird thing, but like, I mean, what if? I mean, okay, so this lady just wants to be called what she wants to be called.
Yeah, do
yeah,
it.
No, open and shut.
That's like end of story. Yeah.
Done. It's not racist. I think that was her question. Is it racist to correct people? It is not.
No, it's not. You got to do it quick and succinct, just like you're a white person who's not German.
It was just like that guy. Did you see I tweeted that guy that was like, came up to me at the gym and was like,
I cannot keep track of the shenanigans. What Lauren, happened? Do you follow Danny on Twitter?
No, I want to.
The shenanigans that you bring to light. And as someone who does this on a smaller scale, I understand that you're not like frothing at the mouth angry about these things. You're just showing people.
I mean, I try to not be too angry on. Well, I feel like my Twitter can be really angry sometimes.
I don't think
not
it's
as angry.
Angry
as Andrew's.
No, Andrew's the worst.
What happened?
Oh, no, this one was not even one of my angry ones. It was just like a cringy one that this guy came up to me at the gym and was like, so are you full Brazilian?
But
what? I was like,
but
and I forgot what I posted. It was like, huh. Like, that was all.
Yeah, that's all you answer.
I'm amazed by the shit that people say to people. Like, Santina Muha has been posting stuff in her stories lately about the things that people say to her. She uses a wheelchair. And the things that people walk up to her and say are, like, outrageous.
Ugh.
Like, someone came up to her and was like, you're still beautiful even though you're in that. And I was like,
no.
What? Oh, what? What? No. I'm like... What world are these people living in that you just walk up to somebody and first of all, just say whatever you want about what they look like, anything. It's just, and then on top of it, like to act like she should feel bad or something.
Right.
It's fucking nuts.
I know. I like whenever someone says to someone like Nicole Byer, whenever she talks about her weight and they say like, you're beautiful though. And she just goes, I know. Yeah. I was talking
that
about
was
my
never
weight.
Part like, of the
these are
so sorry.
Conversations.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good, I'm going to try to remember that.
I'm also in the chronic illness community. I had posted about having Lyme disease. And I remember like, this was years ago. Somebody wrote me and was like, I'd still fuck you. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, because I was hoping you would still fuck me. That's what
so
I
would.
I'm so glad you will fuck
me. Hey, guy, so would literally everyone.
There it is.
That's
there it is.
All, that's not a problem for me. Second of all, I'm not interested in you. So,
Lauren, what wild shit do people say to you?
Oh, my God. I don't even know. What do I get?
I mean, you must get all the tall shit.
I get a lot of tall shit, but that's like so not the same. Like, that's just like,
no,
but it's
but
still like,
it's annoying.
Whatever. I used to get people like commenting on my weight, like that I'm too skinny and stuff. And I've gotten some messages like that where, but I'm like, I don't know what to fucking tell you. Like they think I'm anorexic or something. It's like, okay. I mean,
yeah, you're like, thanks for this.
I don't
concern.
I don't just know don't know what to tell you, but, yeah, I don't know what other weird shit has happened to me, but I mean, that's my privilege of being,
I mean, hey, but as a woman, we all got something.
Yeah,
men always
true.
Feel like they get to comment on our physical appearance.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like a friendly compliment, I'm like, I get up to my limit at what y'all think is friendly.
Oh God,
that's true.
Yeah, gross people.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I definitely have gotten the I'd still fuck you message. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand that one because, or like, it's like, they're like, I don't know what other people say, but I think you're cute. It's like, yeah. You know what? I was having a good day.
You're actually, you're like, what are other people saying? Because all I've heard are nice things.
I feel pretty good.
You're the only one saying a mean thing.
Anyway, but you still think I'm cute and it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have this with dealing with the difference between you and male co-hosts. And I was talking to Tawny before this started that Iffy, my co-host, like he gets to respond to things that I don't because I'll have men write me that listen to our podcast and are like, you're so beautiful. And I write back and I say, thank you. And then they'll reply and say, I wish I could tell you in person.
Oh yeah,
and I'm like, no, you crossed the line.
No, we don't need that.
You would not say this to Iffy. I know you wouldn't.
It's so different as a woman just navigating just social media alone, where I feel like if I like the wrong thing, I could send the wrong message to somebody, that we have like a relationship. Like there have been people where they write things where it's implied that. You used to respond to me and now you don't. Like, what happened? Or I'm like, I just like random shit. I just click like and scroll. Like, I don't know, but you don't know who's on the other end of it. And it's so much easier for a guy.
I know. Yeah.
You're like, this app is designed to make us insane and they shift the algorithms all the time so that you think your best friend hates you. Like, yeah, I don't know why I liked your picture of your dog.
Yeah, but people write Iffy and be like, thank you for taking the time to reply. I'm like, I would reply. Y'all step over the line.
Yeah.
I would reply, but you scare me.
Yep.
Oh, God. Well, of course, I have none of these problems. All of our fans are great and perfect. And Andrew and Zig handle all the socials. I'm not on those.
Oh, how nice for you.
It's really nice. I don't touch them. And the rare time I get weird shit in my own. I mean, I really don't. That quality filter works great.
I use a lot of filtering with, and I like put in a bunch of words that are really nasty.
Yeah.
I don't. So hopefully I'm. Hopefully no one's saying them, but I'm not seeing them.
I'm not.
There you go. Call me a cunt.
Yeah. Well, everybody, you heard it here first. If you call Lauren a cunt, it's fine because she doesn't know.
I don't know.
So go at it. Oh, well, this has been a fantastic episode of The Girls Who Solve Racism and Are Also Women.
Is that girls.
Right? Yeah. Danny, you mentioned your co-host Iffy, but I want to make sure people, if they don't already listen, they should listen. Our fans should, of course,
know you. Your fans are
the
best. I love them.
They all very good.
They hit me up so much when I came on last month. Where do you want me to plug my...
I was about to tee it up, and then I went on a sentence tangent.
Okay.
The podcast is called Nerdificent with Iffy Wadiwe, other friend of the show.
Yeah, it's Nerdificent. Check it out. We try to honestly remove gatekeeping from a lot of franchises and fandoms and you know, just help educate people about the past, present, and future of different things like Wonder Woman or The Twilight Zone or Black Panther or whatever. But we just try to remove a lot of the, oh, you didn't know this thing about this thing. I thought you guys were in sync with that.
It's such a thing with that world, though, where people are like really quick to be like, you are not a big enough fan or something. Like, you don't know everything about this. So.
Right. And it makes you feel kind of like, I remember I listened to an episode that you guys did on Sailor Moon. And as like a casual fan, like I always grew up, it was always on after school. I didn't think about it much growing up, so I don't have like all the shit memorized, you know, but I could listen to your pod and be like, oh yeah, like and feel nostalgic and then like learn a little bit. So then when the nerds challenge me on it, I could be like, yeah, man,
you've got the ammo.
Sailor Mars all the way.
Yes.
What is that? Do you want to plug other things? Tell people how they can find you.
Yes, I will be at New York Comic Con. So I'm sure I will tweet my panels. So you can definitely see that. Come check me out there. And I will be present.
That sounds great.
I can't like announce my panels yet, but
I hear you.
But they will probably by now. So yes.
Okay, cool. Great. So look for things in the future that she can't talk about now, which is in the past. Lauren, what you got?
You can listen to my Way Too Many podcasts.
Yeah.
I have Raised by TV with John Gabris. We talk about TV from the 80s and 90s mostly. And then I have a podcast called with special guest Lauren Lapkus. That's all improv. And
You guys just got that great variety write-up.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to mention it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. And I have Threedom, which is my podcast with Scott Aukerman and Paul F. Tompkins, where we just shoot the shit about whatever. And then I have the Wild Horses podcast, which this whole season is all live episodes that we recorded in LA. So people can listen to those. And we're going on tour with Comedy Bang Bang to a bunch of cities, and I post about it a bunch. So if you follow me, you'll see it. And the Between Two Ferns movie comes out September 20th.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really excited about that. It's on Netflix.
Congrats on that. That looks so funny.
Thanks. It's very fun. It's crazy. No, it's not. My God.
It's wild.
It's bananas.
Now you're policing yourself. I really like bananas. Bananas really brings me a smile.
It's fun to say. Uh-huh. Yeah, but it hasn't become my go-to yet, apparently, because I'm still saying crazy.
It's also a lot of syllables.
It is.
To wrap your mouth around.
Bananas. And I don't want to say it nonstop, you know, and I have to figure out more words.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to use wild.
Do it.
Hey, guys. Well, you'll be able to check us out all with our noses buried in a thesaurus. Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Danny, for co-hosting with me. Thanks, Lauren, for shooting the shit. Thanks to these wild ass questions. That's it. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
And we're back.
We are back. Danny is great. Lauren is great. Everyone's yeah. great. We missed you, Andrew.
Tawny's great.
Nah, replace me.
Okay. We're not doing this. Me. We're not doing any of this. That is true. Like, we're both so beaten down by this podcast. We're both just like, you want to fire me, right?
I have no excuse. I've been here
you want to fire
a
me.
Fraction of the time you have.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Let's just slowly morph it into a different podcast and not tell anyone that we're changing it. It mm-hmm. just slowly becomes about baking. Mm-hmm. And nobody really is the wiser until at the end we're like, they're only taking questions about like flour substitutes.
can I spring one thing on you also at the end of this, which is I forgot. We're still figuring out what we're going to do with our live shows. I'm not sure that's been figured out. But our guest in Seattle, Hari Kondabolu, Hari's on tour for the rest of the year. He's going to have shows in Charlotte, Petaluma, Northampton, Providence, Kansas City, Dallas, and more. Go to HariKondabolu.com for full tour dates and ticket info.
Yes, that was a fun Seattle show.
God, that was so fucking
with Hari.
Fun.
And you guys, we'll get to hear it at some point. We have to figure out when we're putting things where.
Yeah.
Stuff's shaking up over here, guys.
Straight
we're gonna
up,
have new
we don't
stuff
know.
For you. Straight up, we don't know. But it's because of exciting reasons. We'll have new little snippets and things for you. We just have to organize it. And you know, your boy Andrew and your girl Tawny, organization isn't really like
bad.
Why we're in Hollywood.
Bad at it.
If I was better at organization...
What would you do?
I would have been.
What was your dream job if you had a different brain?
Large animal vet.
Small animal vet.
You really?
Yeah, we could have a practice.
We could have been called like high low animal time.
Oh. I would have thought
anything else.
AT&T's Arc.
Whoa. Whoa. Biblical and sponsored.
Yeah.
Let's go. Podswag.com/yo to buy some sweet t-shirts and some pins. We got all kinds of stuff there.
Follow us on all the social media. Yo, is this racist?
Trondi Newman.
Andrew T.
That's it, man. No specific tour dates right now. So just keep your eyes glued to the road because you're driving and you need to be safe. Bye.
Peace.